This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your favorite song, Hugh?
We running this back this year?
I think so. I'd be surprised if it changed. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley.
I mean, it's all right.
Well, you said you didn't like it in the past.
I don't. But it's, I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to go with the crowd.
You know, man. He was on with us last week. You could have told him you didn't like his song. You duck that.
Oh, I'm ducking
you,
stuff
you
now.
You duck Bryce's
sometimes,
duck.
Man, you just have to just let things be what they are, man. You don't need to smoke
you all. You ducked Ryan Howard earlier today,
yeah.
Too.
I'm not going to lie about that.
Criticize Ryan Howard after.
I'm not going to lie about that. I just called him a homer. I said it was little homers.
After he got off the air.
After he got off. Of course.
Well, I guess that's our new way.
It's my friend, brother.
Cowardly.
Yeah, it's cowardly.
It was a kumbaya moment. We're going to get a chance to talk to him again. I'm pretty sure if he heard it, he gonna address it. And I'm just going to be like, you know.
Or if he watched it. WIP now live on YouTube.
Right.
Subscribe to Sports Radio 94 WIP. Be sure to turn on notifications so you never miss a show. Joining us on the air and YouTube is one half of the High Arts Podcast, Jack Fritz. Jack, what a day. It's opening day.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Now, I got bumped for Ryan Howard. I was supposed to be on 11.
Hold on. No. Got bumped. You were just moved back.
I got bumped. I get that he hit 58 home runs in 2006. All right? I get it. He's the best. He's the big piece. You know why I call him the big piece, Joe?
Why?
Big piece of the lineup.
He was a huge piece of the lineup.
How about that D?
I was wondering it too. Wait, hold on a second. Didn't Buster only bump top five at five yesterday?
He did. Yeah. Seems like a lot of Fritz disrespect around these parts.
But did you bump top five at five?
I bumped it myself. Yes,
oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, that's different.
It's called doing it for the greater good. You guys know that.
Also, I mean, I was excited you guys had Buster, but Buster's been a Midday Show guy. You stole Buster from us.
No, I know. I felt bad about that.
Yeah.
But at the same point, I didn't have anyone else's number that I thought might text me back. So I went with Buster. And listen, he gave a pretty – I thought the answer about Nebraska's offseason was interesting.
That people were surprised they didn't do something?
Yeah.
All right, let me ask this before we get into the team. And I know you're excited and think this is going to be a really good year. Do you think that's over? Because I don't.
What is over?
Well, the idea they shake things up. It could happen in the middle of the season. I mean.
I saw your little trade today.
The Red Sox traded Nomar in the middle of the season, and Nomar was a bigger name than any of the guys here, except Bryce. Do you think this team is this team, or could we see something off of Buster that what he said in the offseason yesterday? You think they're done?
No, but I think that they're giving this one last shot. You know, maybe the deadline. The problem is, I know the idea of trading Boehm, right? But what's the upgrade? I don't think Nolan Arenado's an upgrade. I think he's pretty washed up. I know you're a Brendan Donovan head, as
love
I
him.
Am.
Love him.
Which is great. But unless there's at the deadline, I just have the sense that they're going to come out and say the Painter was their big deadline acquisition.
Oh, I don't want that.
Come on, can't you feel it?
He was a big deal.
No, he is a big deal.
Before he got hurt.
But that's a little wormy by you,
by
the way.
It is wormy.
No, there's no worm. There's positive vibes at all times.
Okay, all right.
That's going to be what Dave tells us when they don't make a trade.
I can hear the press conference now.
By the way, Dave, is he starting to sound a little McPhailish? Like I thought with the morning show, he sounded back to the old Dave.
Dave's having a tough run of press conferences.
Well, because he's still trying to keep it positive when everyone is kind of melting down out there.
And then he said the lineup's insignificant. It's all we talk about. What do you mean it's insignificant?
Well, he's kind of right.
Here we go. This is...
What?
Do you have the Phillies worm?
So there's no worm. There's no worm. It's just I love everything about him.
Okay. All right. Sorry. So you're feeling... You're feeling great. What do you feel best about as we enter the season?
What I feel best about, honestly, is the no one believes in us factor. I mean, it's so interesting. Obviously, you guys take calls on it every single day, and you were just mentioning it before you went to break, the range of emotions it feels like everyone's going through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's a vocal minority that's really, really out on them, but it's growing. Like, I think it's growing by after what happened at the end of last season. I think as opening day is getting closer, people are more excited. But I think for an entire offseason, they have heard, you missed your shot, you choked, the bats are going to go cold in October, this is your last shot to run it, to do it, and you're not going to do it, you guys are done. And I think a lot of people, closed the book on this team after they lost to the Mets. And, you know, this is a team that has won a lot of games. They have the most postseason wins in baseball since 2022. I know you love that stat. And I think that they've heard that and they're ready to say, no, we're not done yet. I mean, it reminds me, you mentioned this too. Like, there's a lot of Eagles comps to
there
this.
There is.
There's a Thompson Sirianni comp. Now, maybe Thompson has to shave his head. Do you think that's a good idea?
His hair's too nice.
It's a beautiful mane.
This is a show, in this studio at least, doesn't have much hair. If you have nice hair, you don't shave it.
Dog. My hair growing.
It is.
Except for this.
Well, Hugh thinks if he combs his bald spot, it will grow back.
I've been rubbing this spot, and it feels like the texture's a little different at the top, but it's grown.
You got the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, it doesn't work like this. Rob Thompson's hair is too nice to shave.
Exactly. I mean, it is. Maybe he grows a beard. I don't know.
That could work.
Yeah, like they got to change something up from that standpoint. But I like the idea that no one believes in us, and being down there, I think you guys felt it too. They seemed pretty locked in. Then I think there's this feeling of we don't really know what to say. We just want to go out and prove everyone wrong.
My question to you is this: is there something to changing your approach? Because that's what we've been talking about a lot. Changing your approach. Do you think that if Trey Turner's the leadoff hitter, that he could be in a situation where he can change his approach and be a better hitter at leadoff?
Yeah, I do, because I think that at least with the leadoff position, he's not going to start swinging first pitch. And I think one thing that he gets stuck in is sometimes he wants to just jump and ambush a fastball. And, you know, in that spot, he's going to be more cognizant of trying to work the pitcher rather than do damage. So, obviously, you want to find a perfect balance, right? Like, if he gets a first pitch fastball right down the middle, you want him to try to hit a home run off of it. But I do think, from the standpoint of just getting into a better mindset of, like, let the at-bat come to me rather than trying to jump. So, you know, Schwarber is the perfect example of how it can change. I mean, if Kyle Schwarber, who we watched for, you know, 2 years here, Jillio and Hugh, I mean, he batted, 190? And you know, I think he had batted under 200 both times. And seeing him raise his average by 50 points, if he can do it as someone who's an established veteran, I mean, what is everyone else's excuse?
Well, that's true. He did that. I mean, and that he went the other way. He got more singles instead of he lowered his home runs last year, and no one cared.
No,
right? Because he was better.
Yeah, and that's me and you obviously being more Schwarber heads. We're like, well, I'd take the 48 home runs if it came with the 190 batting average.
But the other way works too.
It does. And I thought he was great last year. So, you know, it comes down to, you know, everyone talks about them being a chase team, right? Like they chase. It's really two players. It's Turner and Castellanos, and I think Castellanos kind of is what he is. Turner, I mean, he's the one that has to make the improvement. He's the biggest swing guy on this team.
We expect more out of him, too. They gave him $300 million. He needs to be better than that and needs to be better than Castellanos. All right, Jack, I'm going to throw three names at you. I think they were probably the most impressive players in spring. I need to know why you're buying it or you need to see it first. Let's start with Christopher Sanchez. He's getting Cy Young buzz up to 98. All right.
Yes.
Is he this good? Because he looks like, from spring training, a number two. Like, is he this good?
Yeah, so I think he's going to lead the starters in ERA.
Then he's that good.
And it's no, like, I think Wheeler's going to be awesome, but I just think Sanchez is ready for that step forward. And the 98's real. The nice part about his 98 is that it hasn't cost him command. He's still commanding the fastball. And that changeup off of 98 when he can drop it in at 84-ish, yep. Like, it's just, it's so hard for a hitter to be able to pick up. He's stronger this year. He came into camp in the best shape of his life.
Uh-oh.
And I just think that he's ready for kind of that workload. I think the Chris Sanchez thing feels really real. And I think it's going to be like a 2.8 finishes, top six in Cy Young voting kind of year for Chris Sanchez.
That's a big one. All right, Alvarado, speaking of best shape, he's in good shape.
Me and Alvarado both down 20.
You got in the same eating regimen and exercise?
Yeah.
All
same,
right.
Same shape.
Can you throw 102 like he was a couple weeks ago?
No, I strictly said 82 to 84.
All right. Is he back? Because 3 years ago, 2 years ago, he was electric. I mean, there was like a stretch of the middle of 22 to the middle of 23. I thought he was the best reliever in baseball. Mm-hmm. And then he wasn't that good last year. I mean, he really wasn't. Are you buying that he's back? He's got the curveball now? Because I have some concern about the bullpen, but if he's good, then the bullpen will be all right.
Has to be good. I mean, for the bullpen to reach where they needed to reach, I think he has to be good. I'm definitely like more buying it than not. I don't know how you can't. It's 102, you know, and last year, I guess maybe last year not having the same workload, kind of being demoted, probably motivated him. Mm-hmm. And the nice part about what's happening this spring is I thought we might be entering into a dead arm period because he was overworked in 2022. He's overworked in 2023. Maybe last year was like his kind of rebuild year or step back year.
Pause year.
Yeah, we're big pause year. Pause year guys over here. The curveball's an equalizer, though. I didn't think that was coming, but it's going to start out as a get me over pitch just to give the hitters a different look. I think as the season goes on, he starts getting on top of it more. He starts trying to bury it. It's just going to turn into a strikeout pitch. So having that weapon at his disposal, I guess, I think that Alvarado's poised for a really solid year.
All right, the other one, this one in the lineup, are you buying Max Kepler?
Oh,
all right,
man.
So if it works out, there's some shades of Ibanez here. You know, a guy that's a little older in his career, similar swing. Maybe people didn't expect it, and then boom, 30 home runs, made the All-Star team. Are you buying Kepler?
Well, listen, if he has a first half like 09 Ibanez, this team's going to win a lot of games. Mm-hmm. Now, he can't fall off like Ibanez did, and, you know, who knows what he was doing during that time, Raul. But, I think, is 260 and 25 home runs, is that fine?
I'll take that. Well, it's better than what we had last year. They played Rojas most of the games last year.
Well, and that's where, you know, people tell me the additions. They didn't do anything in the offseason. Well, they didn't make a $300 million signing. You know, they didn't have that in the cards this year. But I think they took a lot of pretty smart shots. And the nice part about guys on one-year deals is that they have to go out and prove it if they want to get paid again. So in Romano's case and in Kepler's case, even Ranger, hopefully he can get healthy. They're JT Schwarber, if you want to go through those guys. But in Kepler's case, he's been a pretty good player for a long time. He's been the big analytics guy that analytics teams always liked Max Kepler.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he makes some swing adjustments with Kevin Long this offseason. He looks healthy. Swing looks pretty fluid. I'm at like 260, 25 home runs.
I would take that. All right, let's take a phone call here, and then we got to ask you about this division and how do you stack these three up. But you got to be here for a Joe in the Northeast call. Joe!
Oh, Joe.
Joe, what's up, buddy?
Got a moment too big.
Oh, wow, Joe.
What a joker. What's he watching, MLB Network?
I think I can hear us.
I think he has YouTube on. I think he's watching the show. Was Joe asleep last time we went to him?
I think so. Yeah. That's the theory.
How do you go to sleep on a phone call, though?
It happens all the time.
Joe's a veteran, though. This is...
Well, and like the...
Are we down on Joe entering the season?
I mean, Joe's slipping lately. Wow.
I can't wait for midseason when he's all... Like, Cal Stevenson feels like it's done, right?
I mean, well, his topic today was, I haven't given up on Cal.
Good.
Joe!
Good. I hope he has someone else in Lehigh Valley he's all fired up
I'm
about.
Sure he does. Yeah. Rincones. All right, let's go to Frank in Wilmington. What's up, Frank? Frank?
Hey, what's up,
fellas? Hey, Frank. I believed in Frank.
Frank about to blow it.
No, I believed in Frank. Frank, what's up, buddy?
Nah, man. I'm on point today. Real quick, Hugh, I don't want a long talk or anything, but what is the best ability of a player?
His availability.
Please leave Mike Trout in Anaheim. Stop bringing it up.
I'm not giving it up, Frank.
Talk to Joe about that.
Frank, I will not give up on it until we have a better outfield or Mike Trout's retired. I mean, one of the two.
So, all right, I'm going to say this because I this was not my point, but you brought it up and it just burns my souls. And I just want to say, Mike Trout, for his money and the production that you think we're going to get, is absolutely not worth the hassle because he doesn't even play 50% of the season. And we have no idea if he's good in the postseason because he's never been.
Well, he has. He lost three games. He's played three postseason
he
games in his life.
To the toilet last
all right, Frank, let me ask you this because you mentioned the money. Right. Taijuan Walker's deal and Nick Castellanos, if you combine the two per year, it's the same as, mm-hmm. is same as Trout. If the summer rolls around and Trout is healthy, would you swap Castellanos no. and Walker for Trout?
No.
Oh, come on.
You said if.
Listen, all right, so hold on.
Well, I have to say
let me just add, let me
can't
ask
lie.
You. Money being the thing, right? And you want to move Castellanos and Walker and hopefully spend a limited amount of money to get a player. Why would we not move our focus to Vladimir Guerrero Jr.,
well,
who went out of Toronto?
That's another name. That was your guy?
Well, sure, I would take him, but the Blue Jays aren't taking Castellanos and Walker for him. I'm saying if the Angels want to dump Trout, I'll take him.
You would rather boost Trout, who has been injured for 90% of his career.
Off injured.
Hold on, he's playing left field this year. He's not a center field. He's got to factor that in.
That's right. He's going to be healthier.
Dude, he got hurt in the game. I think that Rojas hit the home run late, which was shocking. I think we were all delirious at 1 in the morning. Yeah. He got hurt just from second base to home.
He was just jogging.
That's not great.
And this is the guy you guys are trying. Anyway, that's not my point. I don't want to get too hung up on
I'm just
Trout.
Done with it.
Dude, you drafted him in like the first round of our fantasy league. You are on
Did you see the spring training he just had? He's bad. All right, Frank, what do you got for us? Give us on the record, what's your win total?
88-76.
All right. Frank's got 88. And give us a bowl prediction. I need a bowl prediction.
Bowl prediction is Johan Rojas wins Gold Glove and Silver Slugger.
Silver Slugger? And you're telling me I'm delusional about Trout? He can't hit!
Listen, I know he's Hughes guy.
You didn't say it had to make sense.
No, I kind of moved off that just a hair.
Frank, it actually might be the boldest prediction we got all day. It's actually pretty good. Frank, good phone call there. Yeah. All right.
Started drinking at 12:14.
I mean, come on. Comes in on me or at Trout, and then he thinks Rojas can hit. I mean, Hughes the only one who thinks Rojas can hit.
Well, he hit 230 last year? 330?
Well, and he's batting 315 in spring.
It's a soft 230. We talked about this.
No, but I'm saying it counts, though. It counts. You can say it as much as you want to say it, Joe, but it's still counted, though.
230, he stinks.
That's all you asked for.
290 in the Winter League.
Oh, great. Great. That's wonderful. I don't, do you buy that they're going to give Marsh a real chance to play every day? Like, how long does this last?
I think they are.
And Kepler?
Yeah. Why not?
Well, because they've had Marsh for 3 years, and they don't let him play against lefties.
Yeah, well, they finally said, hey, maybe it's probably a good time to maybe let him try.
Well, they will.
I don't know what took them so long. I mean, maybe he had to prove to them, and maybe in spring, he did look better against lefties.
Yep.
I know his overall average didn't look great, but he worked a couple long at-bats when I watched, so I don't know. We'll see. I think he's going to be pretty good. I don't think he's going to fall off the face of the earth. But Rojas is going to play, what, twice a week?
I play him on defense every game when they have the lead. I mean, that's what he's good for.
A little Kepler and right, Rojas and
that's
center.
That's right, the all-defense out there.
Yeah, a little eighth and ninth
inning. Get Castellanos off the field. All right, Jack. What do you think about this division? The Braves are getting Acuna back soon. They're getting Strider back soon. They're the Braves. And the Mets add Soto to what they had last year, although they'd lost a couple things. They added Soto. How do you stack up the division? And who's the biggest threat?
So the Braves are the biggest threat, no doubt about it. And the Mets, I'm trying not to, like, get too ahead of myself with saying they're, like, mostly fraudulent, because I do believe that Stearns is a good GM.
Yep.
And, you know, they turned Manaea into a really good starting pitcher last year. But if you look at that rotation, it's Griffin, Canning. I know that, you know, what's his face? Montas is hurt.
But didn't we think this last year and they were in the NLCS?
So I get it. But also that was a lot of magic. You know, that was a lot of relying on the OMG nonsense and Jesse Winker. And like it was a team that got in and got hot. Now they have to replicate that kind of energy. And I know it's Steve Cohen. I know it's David Stearns, who I have a lot of respect for. But they are still the Mets. They are still the Mets. I could see the Soto thing turning into like it's a Mets disaster somehow. So I'll say the Mets are prove it. Prove it to me with the Mets. And then the Braves, I think people are sleeping a little bit on the rotation. I know that obviously Strider, great when he's healthy. He's got to stay healthy again. But
Schwellenbach
and Grant Holmes.
It's a good baseball name, Schwellenbach.
Oh, Schwellenbach's can't be a pitcher, though. He should be an outfielder that just hits bombs. Their outfield's a little fraudulent, though, too. I mean, Profar's never produced outside of San Diego. Kelnick stinks. You know, like Michael Harris is a good player. All three of those teams are right about the same for me. I think they're 90 to 95. Maybe Mets are more in the high 80s. But I think it's going to be a Phils Braves, and maybe that keeps the Phillies sharp heading down the stretch run. And that's the hope that, you know, you're fighting for a division title. You want to win the division, so you're out of the wild card. And that keeps them a little more fresh. Outside of injuries, I think this is a Phillies Braves 2-horse race.
Do all three make the playoffs?
I don't think the Mets do. I think
third in the East could miss the playoffs. I think it's going to be tight. Like for that, whoever that third team is, that's going to be like,
Well, the Diamondbacks, I think, are better than the Mets. Like, the Diamondbacks added Corbin Burns to an 89-win team last year that was pretty banged up. Padres, I think, are still really good. Yep. So I think probably both those. And obviously the Dodgers and Central, probably only one team. But, I mean, who knows? Cubs, Brewers, Reds are all pretty good. So, yeah, I think it's going to take 90, I think, from a lot of these teams to make the playoffs.
I think so, too. All right, let's grab Joe in the Northeast. He's ready. I think he's ready to roll. And then we got to ask Jack about what I think is going to be the biggest debate in the city coming up in a couple months. Joe is up. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's
nice
up, to Joe?
Jackie, you, how are you?
Hey.
I hear Jackie Baseball's there. You know what? I forgot more about baseball than what I think with Jackie Baseball.
Whoa!
Joe coming in hot on opening day.
I listen to you, Jack. You know, let me tell you about, first of all, about Cal Stevenson, okay? I haven't given up on the guy. and both him and Crawford will be down at AAA, right? As long as Stubbs, too. And the reason why Stubbs is there is because they're not sure about Realmuto, what they're doing with him. And they're going to give Marshawn, I know about the options, he didn't have any. They're giving him to see if he, an opportunity being part-time, could he do the job if Realmuto doesn't have a good year? Because if he doesn't have a good year, he's not with the Phillies next year. And he shouldn't have been. They should have traded for a catcher, which they didn't. But in reference to Stevenson, okay, he had a terrible spring training. 179 he hit, right? He batted 7 for 39. But the thing that got me was, so he made 32 outs. 19 of them were strikeouts.
That's a lot of Joe.
Yeah, so I wondered if they made a correction with his swing before. Yeah, our illustrious Kevin Long and his assistants. Because this kid doesn't strike out his minor league career.
I like this. I want to blame Kevin Long for Cal Stevenson.
They're staying up at night fixing Cal Stevenson's swing.
No, well, he doesn't strike out. You look at his stats, Jack. You know, you think the kid came up last year and won 3 ball games for that.
Yeah, by himself,
right?
Yeah,
3 ball games. And that's why Crawford is there, because Crawford will probably be up here by mid-season.
Where is he playing, Joe?
He's going to play center field.
Over okay? Marsh?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Marsh is not going to
said that
hit
with confidence
left-handed pitching.
Well, I'm with you on that, Joe. I don't believe Marsh is going to
hit left-handed pitching. This is the same general manager who was looking after Austin Hayes for years. Well, where's Austin Hayes this year?
He's a Red, and he's hurt.
He's batting
clean. Nobody, I mean, because his kidney. Is his kidney, is that a career ending?
Yeah, how close is his kidney to his heart, Joe?
Nobody asked him what happened to your there. Now he's got Kepler, and he brought us in here with no relievers. Okay,
it's a thin pen. Yeah, it's thin.
They're not going to go 7 innings. Our starters.
How many wins, Joe? How many wins you got?
87.
87. All right, Joe. Wow. So Joe's fired up and ready to go for opening day.
He kind of cooked, Jack.
Woo!
There's no cooking.
Is there a little budding rivalry there between Joe and Jack?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are starting to line up and take shots at your boy. I think it's a lot of Chesty Eagles fans, which I earned.
But Joe's more of a baseball first.
Joe is more of a baseball fan.
More than you knew.
I know. That was strong.
Yeah, right out the gate.
I mean, Joe's got no eyes.
He called the Stevenson game.
His eyes.
Did you
test.
Forget about the Cal Stevenson game?
I did not forget about the Cal. I think that was the game that I won 2 Harper home runs plus 7,000.
That's a good bet. All right, let's end with this. Come August, where is Andrew Painter pitching? The starting rotation or the bullpen? And how is everyone here going to handle if they have to take him out of the rotation or an innings limit? I mean, I think Angelo's going to come out of retirement if he has an innings limit and they shut him down in September.
Well, he should have an innings limit.
Well, hold. Are we trying to win the World Series?
Well, that's why you're going to manage the innings.
Okay. So how do they manage those innings? How does this play out?
I think the most likely scenario, because I don't buy the Rangers missing 3 starts thing.
Neither do I.
It feels like a thing they're going to be dealing with.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate. I think he just has a bad back. I think that's kind of what it is. I don't think the whole, I'm not a huge proponent of Ranger in the bullpen because I don't think he has like shut down stuff, but I know they did it in 21 and 22.
Slow heartbeat, though.
He does have a slow heartbeat, and they won the NLCS with him on the mound. So I think this ends with with Painter in the rotation. I don't think they want to do the Wainwright thing like in 2006 and put him in the bullpen, because I think they want to develop him as a starter, and asking a 21-year-old to figure out how to come in that situation is a little bit tough. So I think he pitches in the rotation. I think Ranger goes to the bullpen. If Ranger's healthy, I think they go six man, but I think they put Wheeler on a 5-day plan so he does not get worked up.
Okay.
And then as it heads down the stretch run, it's going to be the best four, the best four are in.
He just better have innings in his arm for October. Otherwise,
well, that's what their plan is, though.
All right.
I mean, that's their plan.
Meltdown City.
80 to 90 innings.
How many wins for the season? Bills.
For Andrew Painter?
No, for the whole season, the team.
93.
93 wins for Jack Fritz. All right. Jack, enjoy today. It's a special day. And you guys barely have to work.
Oh, dude, this is baseball season. Baseball season is the best.
These guys have an hour show today.
Hour and 23 minutes.
Oh, stop. Leading off is a different show. All right, you guys, we appreciate Jack hopping on. We'll get back to all the phone calls here coming up. Go on the record with the Phils, how you think this season plays out, and our favorite bowl predictions wins a prize today. But we have to also get to the biggest news from this morning. John Tortorella out as Flyers coach. Ashlyn Sullivan with the scoop on that. I think Broad's got him fired on the afternoon show. That's next. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Spring is in the air. And you know what else is in the air? The smell of grills firing up. I was about to say the smell of bacon because y'all know how much I love bacon, but that's in the second part of this ad. It's time for take cooking outside again, people. Picture this. You're in the backyard and a juicy Hatfield marinated tenderloin is on the grill, and on the flat top, you know what it is. It's bacon. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Longer days and great food with friends and family. Head to simplyhatfield.com for recipes and retail locations near you and put some Hatfield pork on your fork.
What the hell are you talking about, Dorch? You know what you signed up for? What did you sign up for at the start of the season? This was going to be a rebuild. This was always going to take time. You were going to lose games every night. Dropping to Chicago 7-4. Losing to Toronto 7-2. That was in the cards as we try and get premier talent in this league. And he stands up there and goes, guess what? I got no interest in this. Are you serious? What are you, Doc Rivers? Hey, I won three games. I don't get credit for that. When you need four to close out a series, it's embarrassing. And quite frankly, I do think he deserves to pretty much fire his ass.
Boom! The voice of Broach yesterday. I mean, he lit up John Tortorella yesterday on his appearance in the afternoon show. And you know what, Hugh? Maybe the Flyers were listening because they canned Tortorella this morning.
You know, like, one of my favorite things ever is to hear Bros crash out,
because
the crash outs that Bros have are epic.
He's an all-time screamer. I love fired
up Bros. He's old school radio.
Yeah,
he's old school radio.
He's great.
But if we're being honest, we saw that coming. That's one of those ones that, you know, when you hear it, remember on Jerry Maguire when he wrote the manifesto.
Yes,
and he sent it to the company. Mm-hmm. And was it the Bart Sugar or whatever his name was? Said, yeah, he about to get fired in the morning. You knew that was coming. When you sat there in a press conference and you're talking about the team, and one of the things that comes out your mouth, the thing that everybody heard was like, yeah, I don't feel like doing this anymore. I didn't really want to sign up for this.
I said yesterday, I felt like he was trying to get fired.
No, and he's a smart guy. We talked about it yesterday. He's a smart man. I don't see him as a guy that is he's calculated in his thought process.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, he knew what he was doing because that's what he wanted to do. You know what he reminds me of? Urban Meyer. Remember Urban Meyer?
When he stayed behind?
When he was with the young lady at the spot.
When he didn't take the team plane home?
But when he was at Ohio State, he stepped down for health reasons.
Yes, yes.
Excuse me. It was Florida first.
Florida.
And then it was Ohio State.
Yep.
But this is kind of the same thing. And then we were in the meeting talking and I think it was Mike said something about, this is kind of his M.O. So, yeah, he got tired of it.
Well, let's get the scoop. What actually happened?
The tea.
What happened with the Flyers and John Tortorella? Joining us now, Ashlyn Sullivan, NBC Sports Philadelphia, of course, also with us here at WIP, and the Flyers with the podcast with Al and post-games, pre-games. Ashlyn, how you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. It's been quite a morning. When stuff like this happens, you are raring to go. So we just got back from NBC, handled all this breaking news, and have a game tonight, which is pretty wild that the Flyers still have 8 games on the season. There is a game tonight that I know people are clamoring for against Montreal.
So it's pretty wild that we'll now focus and shift our attention to covering a game when obviously there is much bigger news here today.
So, Ashley, were you at the press conference when all of this happened?
I was not at the post-game press conference 2 days ago. We had it live on our air, and it's funny, my producer, Joe Fordyce, Torts is great in post-game press conferences. You never really know what he's going to say. And Joe said in my ear as I was teasing the presser, he's like, this is the best one yet. Like, just tell fans, just wait for this. Like, you're going to want to stay and watch this. So I never know what he's going to say either. And it was jarring, his comments. And it came off of just last week. I did a sit-down interview with Torts that aired on NBC Sports Philadelphia, and he had talked about how a lot of times when he's fresh off a game, fresh off a loss, how a lot of times he regrets the way he shares messages or says something post-game. But to be that blunt and matter-of-fact, frankly, it showed me that he was always on board with the way Danny Briere, Keith Jones, Dan Hilferty wanted to strip down this roster, go back to this rebuild that we saw at the trade deadline. But I think you frankly have just seen the past couple of games, the lack of talent that is on this roster and how long this is truly going to take to become a contender. I think it was jarring and eye-opening to all of us these past couple of games, how blatant the lack of talent has been on the ice.
Ashlyn, you mentioned those post-game pressers. Had this been building at all? Did you have a feeling something like this could be coming, or did the switch just flip the other way and he's just like, I'm kind of checked out? Because when a head coach says, I didn't sign up for this and the season's not over, that's a lot. Yeah, that's an all-timer. Did you see this coming, or did it kind of blindside you when you heard him?
I didn't see this coming, and frankly, I don't think Torts meant, I think when you listen to the press conference and you see it on paper, it's two very different things. Torts had told me in the sit-down interview, and I always knew this was going to be tricky, that he was still going to continue to push his players despite the losing streak, despite the obvious lack of talent on the roster. He wasn't going to let up. That's just not in his DNA. So we saw last game, they're losing to Toronto 7-2. He benches Cam York, a starting defenseman that normally plays 20-plus minutes, benched him for two periods. Cam York made an egregious mistake on a goal. In my opinion, deserved to sit a shift. But to bench him two periods, that's that line that I think Torts was always going to have a really tough time crossing on a losing team with young players, how you still get your message across with guys that are on this losing streak when the season is obviously very over. I did think Torts, sadly, was going to get fired at the end of the season. I just felt like it was time for a fresh new voice. It's very clear the past two games, to me, it looks like the effort wasn't there, and that was something that Danny Briere has always said you can't have with the Flyers organization. There has to be effort every single night. That's what this team is known for. So the minute you see that, then yeah, I think it is time to make a change.
So Ashton, I'm curious, did you think that the message got stale, or was he talking too rough to the players? I mean, what was it? What was it exactly that you could talk about that really happened, why this relationship went the way that it went?
Well, especially with Cam York, he's always had a pretty tough relationship with Cam York. I really appreciate Torts' honesty, and frankly, I think the Flyers players need to take some accountability in this. Yes, there is an obvious shift in talent when you trade a Scott Laughton and a Joel Farabee, a Morgan Frost at the trade deadline, but there are some players, especially on defense, that are making egregious mistakes against a team like Chicago that the Flyers are above in the rankings. So to me, I think the players do need to look themselves in the mirror. I look at Travis Konechny, for example, the first period against Toronto, some grade A scoring chances where he frankly just doesn't shoot the puck. So I understand there are differences, and I understand Torts is brutally honest, but many players have told me they like that about him. They like that style of coaching. And if I'm a player, I don't want my coach to all of a sudden give up and just say, you know what, Cam York, go make those mistakes. No big deal. Like, I think the style of coaching Torts had should stay consistent. From what I understand, it did. The biggest fear was, were the players going to stop responding? And you know this as a former athlete. I can't speak to this, but I don't think a player should just all of a sudden check out on a coach because of a losing streak or because a message is becoming stale. Like, to me, I think the lack of accountability a little bit in the locker room is bothersome to me more so than the coaching change.
Yeah, because listening to this story and seeing how it went, because Torts signed up for it at the beginning of the season. He was excited about it. He knew exactly what he was doing. But if the players aren't buying into it, I mean, that's
then
kind of a tough spot.
Then why is that Torts' fault? Right, that's kind of like what I'm getting at. It's like, I get it. I get fans want to change. They should want to change. Flyer fans have been nothing but patient. But look at what Torts is dealing with on the ice, and then look at the mistakes that are being made. I'd bench him too.
I think most fans would. Yeah, I think most fans would, too. So, I mean, I get his frustration, and now the Flyers got to start over at head coach. Ashley, we appreciate you hopping on and giving us some insight into this wacky story here.
Yeah,
but the Flyers trying to steal some headlines. Yeah, it's wacky.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. Thank you, Ashlyn. There she goes. Ashlyn Sullivan, NBC Sports Philadelphia, and, of course, with us here at WIP and the Hot Flyers podcast with Al Morgani there. I mean, she gave us the facts there and her opinion. I still give Brode some credit. I think yesterday.
You think Brode did it?
Yeah, I think the Flyers were listening and they heard Brode and they were like, yeah, we got to get
him. What the hell are you talking about, Dort?
No,
if I'm running the Flyers, if I'm Jonesy and I hear that, I'm like, I got to get the coach out of here.
The best was with Brody was on the phone with the caller and he was like, dude, what are you talking?
This is the dumbest phone call I've ever taken in my life. You know, fired up, Rhodes is great. All right, 215-592-9494. For this hour on 94 WIP is fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance for your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. All right, we got to get to our Twitter questions. We have, I think, at least one, if not two, Twitter questions up today. Did you do Hugh Dirty on the bowl prediction one, or did we not do that?
I didn't. I decided to play nice today because it's opening day.
That's nice of you. What a kind producer. All right, the Phillies win total this season will be over or under 90.5 victories. 74%. What do you think they're voting, Hugh? Over or under? It's the total is 74% versus 26. Where do you think people are at? Over or under 90.5 victories?
This is the tough one. Because I want to be optimistic, but I feel like I know this fan base just a little bit. I'm going to still say over.
They are. The 70% are saying
over
90.5.
But, you know, I remember the thing that most people that listen to the radio station, they don't call in. I was trying to piece it together with the people that called in. But, yeah, I feel
now, it does fit our callers, though. I would say 70% of people are over 90 that have given us a prediction so far. Okay. We've had the stray 89, 88. We had one guy at 83, which was a lot.
We have a lineup.
We have a lineup. Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
Do you want to guess? Do you want to take a guess?
Yes. Okay. Trey Turner leading
Correct.
Off and playing shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Harper batting second and playing first base.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Bohm playing third base and batting third.
Correct.
Kyle Schwarber, the DH, batting fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth is either going to be Castellanos or Real Muto. It's got to be one of
those. It's Real Muto.
Real Muto catching, batting fifth.
Yep.
Six, Max Kepler.
Yes.
In left field.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh is Castellanos.
Yep.
In right field. Eighth is going to be. So we haven't had Stott or Marsh yet.
It's Bryson Stott.
Stott and Marsh.
And then Marsh. Yep.
Okay.
So Turner, Harper, Bohm, Schwarber, Real Muto, Kepler, Castellanos, Stott, Marsh. Opening day lineup.
You know, that's a pretty, the first thing I thought of there, Hugh, is two things came to mind first. We're going with the lefty-righty lineup, right? So today's the lineup against lefties. Turner is the leadoff hitter today. Second thing is, that's a boost for Real Muto, because Real Muto was sitting more towards the bottom at the end of last season. Mm-hmm. Now he's five. And it also is a pretty high spot for Kepler, who just got here. We were talking to Jack about Kepler, the guy they signed for the one-year, $10 million deal. He's above Castellanos in the lineup. I know Topper likes to go lefty-righty, but... That's interesting that Kepler's above Castellanos in the lineup.
Yeah. I'm just waiting to see the leadoff hitter, how he's going to fare, man. Because that's the guy that has to get the party started. With that lineup and that kind of speed that you have at the top of the order and those guys, he has to be the one to get the party started.
All eyes on Trey Turner,
yeah,
405
definitely,
today.
Definitely.
In D.C. against Mackenzie Gore and the Nats. All right, there's your lineup. Turner leading off opening day. 215-592-9494. Back to the phone lines here. Rob in Delco is up on WIP. Hey, Rob.
Hey, boys. How you doing, Hugh? How you doing, Joe?
What's going
on? Hey, Rob.
Man?
Listen, I got a guess for you at the end with a bowl. I think I got the bowl prediction, but listen, you know me. I would like to make a change when I call in. I like to name... My name be changed to Rainbow Rob after that call from Ron from Monaco, okay? Because it'd be tough and critical, as you know, on some of these teams. He makes me look like a rainbow, who? He makes me look like sunshine.
He makes you seem super positive. Ron was the way Ron was talking there, I thought he was going to have under 500 with his total wins.
But listen, when I'm ripping this, like a lot of things I'm ripping nowhere. Just like. With Ron's point of view, it's like, why bother watching the season? Like, just don't even turn them on.
Well, I mean, Ron wanted to fire Doug Peterson the year after they won the Super Bowl. So this is who Ron is, yeah.
I've been wrong about stuff, too. Don't get me wrong. People can jump after me, too. Get on my case, too. But, man, he makes me look like a rainbows and unicorn and sunshine.
Yeah, it's okay to be wrong. We're all wrong every day on WIP. That's what we do.
Some of us.
Well, some of us could admit it. Others pretend they're never wrong.
And no offense, Ashton's great, the one you had on doing the Flyers talk, but I think I've had my Flyers fill for the rest of the year. How's
well,
that
okay? was our Flyers fill for a while. We
for the rest of the year.
They tried to hijack opening day. You believe these guys?
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. No. I mean, they're a joke, and the Sixers are a joke. And listen, I like Torts. Stick with a coach, though. You know what I mean? Eventually, you got to stick with a guy.
Well, I know, but I think he tried to get himself fired. I mean,
he checked out.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do when the coach says, I don't know if I want to do this job anymore?
These guys are thoroughly irritating.
It's like if your spouse says, I don't know if I want to be married anymore. What are you supposed to say? Like, all right.
You got to let him go.
If he didn't say that, she said they were going to probably can him anyway. So he thinks he saw the writing on the wall, and that's why he said he.
Yeah, you might be right. Maybe he jumped them. Yeah,
that was a lot to digest, though.
I think Bro's got him fired personally. Rob, what do you got for us on the record? Phillies wins.
Bills. I'm going to go with the year I graduated high school. It's a nice number, 91. Okay?
91 for Rob. And wow, you're right over that 90.5. You know, total on FanDuel there. So 91. How far are they going in the playoffs?
They're going to get bounced in the opening round again.
Yeah.
I just whether that's the wild card round or, you know, if they win a division and you know, they play in the DS, whatever it is, whatever the first opportunity is, they're going to get bounced in the first round because I just don't see a leopard changing its stripes. I don't see Trey Turner.
Spots.
I guarantee you right now, I'm going to tell you right now, okay, remember the next time I call you, the first pitch that Trey Turner gets is going to be the one just off the plate. I guarantee he's going to flail at it. I guarantee he's going to swing.
I can't do that.
Is this his first swing?
The first pitch.
Yeah.
No.
I need a good tone set for the. I need a good tone set for the season.
No, he's going to take the first pitch. He's taking the first pitch.
Rob, what do you got? Give us a bold prediction. Bold prediction.
I was thinking about the one guy kind of gave me an idea when he's mentioning Justin Crawford. Mm-hmm. Okay, whenever Andrew Painter gets called up, June, July-ish, whenever it is, okay? By the end of September, entering the postseason, he will be the Phillies' number two starter.
Ooh, wow. Painter, the number two starter. Rob, that's a bold prediction. Best bold prediction we get today. We'll win a $100 gift card to Sunoco there.
You said Painter's going to end up the number two?
Number two starter.
How?
Well, I guess he's that good.
I guess he's going to be throwing that heat.
Or we have some problems in the rotation, injuries.
Yeah, that says more to me about what happens with the other guys than Painter.
I am excited to watch Painter, though. I mean, you mentioned you 2 years ago in spring training. He was the story.
He was the whole bus.
Yeah,
like he was going to be that guy, and they tried to they didn't want to have Tommy John surgery. They kind of slow played a little bit, and he had to have it, and they just kind of after that it was over. But yeah, they're excited about him.
The first time I watched Andrew Painter pitch, just like highlights, and he had 2 innings. He pitched at a time when he first got to the professional ranks. When I saw him, I thought of Justin Verlander. He looks like – he's a little taller, but like he's got that lanky frame, and the ball just explodes out of his hand. I mean, he threw 98-99 and looked like he wasn't even trying. I mean, he has incredible potential, and I can't wait to see how they use him. I know Jack said he doesn't think they'll put him in the bullpen. I don't know, Kyle. If their starting rotation is rolling and healthy and their bullpen is struggling – I'd be okay with it. I mean, I don't know how many innings he has to offer this season, but if he's ready and they don't need a starter and they could use an arm in the bullpen, imagine him coming out for 2 innings at a time in October. He lights out.
Well, you heard Joe from the Northeast. Jack has no idea what he's talking about.
But it's been established.
When it comes to baseball.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I mean, they need to find a way to use Andrew Painter, whether it's out of the bullpen or in the starting rotation. They put Ranger in the bullpen. You can never go into a postseason with too much pitching.
No, I mean, and the Dodgers do this every year. They just find a way to mix and match all their arms and figure it out. Tyler in Delaware, he's fired up for opening day. What's up, Tyler?
Joe, why? Gilio! And my main man, Hugh. What's going on, y'all?
What's up, man?
Tyler, what's up, buddy?
Oh, man. Hey, Hugh.
Yes.
In the words of Cool and the Gang, the song Fresh, he's fresh.
Fresh. Exciting. He's so excited to me.
Baby.
Oh, yeah, he's singing something else. My bad. I'm sorry.
No. I know the song, but we're dubbing it for opening day.
Got you. Got you.
You got to follow along.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. I don't do a good job of following directions most times. I don't do a good job sometimes of following directions.
I feel bad for your coaches back in the day.
Yeah, they let me have it.
Does Shoe do anything for us?
Yeah. Don't follow directions.
No. I gotta work on that too, Hugh. It's all good. I gotta say,
I got the whole prompter. I got the screen set up here at home. I'm following along. The comment section on YouTube, y'all, has been hilarious.
I'm
a little nervous about that.
Yeah, I already know. They've been killing me.
Yeah, have they? Blended in?
We've gotten some good memes about you.
Yeah, blended in. Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah, I can imagine. Y'all are just so mean and hurtful.
Hey, Joe, this one guy said, looks like Joe G polished the dome today.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I shaved the head last night. Yep. Every other night. We do that every other night. So, yeah, I did it just for the people on YouTube. Yep, I had to do that.
You buffed it for opening day?
Yeah, that's right. You got to be your opening day best. Hugh hasn't buffed his head in a while. He's got the cul-de-sac.
I'm going to let this cul-de-sac grow, man. I'm going to let it grow.
Someone said, I trust Jack's opinion since the Phillies GM said he's a real baseball guy. That is a lie. And then...
that can't be true.
This one right here was my favorite. Fritz needs to either iron his hoodie or throw that in the dryer with a dryer sheet and look less wrinkled.
Yeah, they're starting to call him
crazy.
Yeah, Jackie Wrinkles is his new name because he came in here wrinkled today. Yeah, he said in the hallway he doesn't care about wrinkles.
But Tyler, I didn't get that much heat. I would imagine that I got a lot of heat for the darkness. Darkness, everybody, darkness.
Maybe people feel like they don't want to be offensive.
Yeah, I guess that.
You can say it.
Someone said about you, Hugh, they said Hugh is always chewing. So I don't
know. Is that it? No,
We also found out it's the first day. Yeah, Hugh's been eating Big League Chew, not just chewing it, but eating it. Yeah. So with that revelation came out.
It's not just any Big League Chew. It's the raspberry kind.
It's gum.
It's bubble gum.
It's gum.
But it's even the whole flavor you're eating?
No, it's the raspberry.
I just looked in there. It's all bubble gum.
No, it's the this the one.
No.
I saved it. Like Ava got a whole bunch of it, but she gave me the flavor one.
You're not supposed to eat it.
Swallowing
I know,
gum.
Man, but it's like I'm oral fixated. I mean, it's the truth. I'm oral fixated, and I try not to swallow it, but it's like I don't, you know, I swallow it sometimes.
Yeah, that dropped.
But since y'all done told everybody, now I guess I got to start spitting it out because everyone's like,
well, don't do that on the YouTube. All right, Tyler, what do you got for us? Give us a bold prediction for this Phillies team.
All right. Well, my bold prediction. I did some math because we love math on this show.
No,
as I'm just seeing the screen,
math.
He's holding up the raspberry Big League Chew. The Phillies play 28 division games in the first half. They play 21 division games in the second half. My bold prediction, you guys, is that the Phillies in the division are going to go 35-14.
Woo!
That's a 7-1-4 winning percentage. Give me the music, Kyle. We got a loose Edgefield Aaron at the door. And they are not on a bearish trend. This is a brand new season. John Tortorella just got in today, which means you can book it. You can book it, Tortellini. We are going to get a Castellanos moonshot today.
Moonshot. Right.
We embark, gentlemen, in the Delaware Valley in a journey of 26 weeks. 162 games worth of baseball is upon us. This is not the time for negativity.
Ain't the time,
we just went through it, Hugh.
We just went to New Orleans with the
Eagles. We were doubted. We were underappreciated. We were not in a position where we thought that team was going to be successful. This Phillies team, this city, is starving for a World Series. They're starving for a baseball championship in the fall. And that mission to bring that trophy back starts today. It starts with the little things. It starts with small ball. It starts with dominant starting pitching every single day from 1 to 5. It means the bullpen guys come in and they lock it down and they steal the deal. This city embodies the 3 P's: persistence, cushion, and absolute power.
Wait a minute, what?
This is the time for us as Philadelphians to lock in,
what?
Get behind this team.
Precision?
And
percussion?
Look at... What? On precision? No!
Wait a minute.
This is the time to motivate.
Stop derailing him.
No, because I'm...
Let him cook.
Fine.
Yo, look, in the way of...
Oh.
He loved
no. You ruined it. You ruined it.
He's petering out.
Listen,
Tyler.
We gotta ring that bell.
I got because he said persistence in what?
Ring that bell. It's time to win. Let's go,
Tyler! Appreciate it. I'm not sure what he said either with the P's, but that was... He barreled through. He barreled man. Through your nonsense. All right, 215-592-9494. I do. We got Devin coming up next. Sure. All your phone calls on Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, has given all customers a chance to take a swing at $500,000 of bonus bets every day from March 27th to 30th this Thursday through Sunday. It's all part of the $500,000 daily home run jackpot. All you have to do is use your jackpot profit boost on a player at a homer. Uh-oh, I mean, you know, that guy usually is when there's something going on. That could be a guy in the Phillies. And if they go yard, not only will you get bigger winnings on your home run bet, but you also get a share of that day's $500,000 jackpot. This season on FanDuel, big wins are on deck. So head to FanDuel.com/GIGLAO and look for the daily home run jackpot. Make every moment more with FanDuel, your home for betting home runs. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official part of 94 WIP.